This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Austin steps up, looking around. He's going to throw it. And it's a touchdown for the Washington Redskins to Steven Sims Jr. Well, well, well. Jones, Haskins, Haskins, Jones. You tell me, big fella.
And I like this, first of all, because this is not a rookie. Normally, rookies sometimes will panic and take off and run, but watch, Haskins will take this throwing lane. Looks like he's going to run the football, but the eyes are staying downfield, and credit for Sims to keep working the scramble drill, running to your quarterback in the direction he's going to make a straight line throw. Great play by Sims. Great play by Haskins. I see your counter. I'll counter your back, Jones.
Fox telecast yesterday with Tom Brenneman and Chris Spielman. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Much appreciate you guys listening as always. The Mattress Warehouse Hotline is where we find Clinton Portis, who joins us after every Redskins game to kick off our second hour of our Monday shows at 11 a.m. Clinton, for us, yesterday was kind of a dream scenario. Haskins, other than the injury, played really well. Seems like it's minor, ideally. Offense moved the ball. The game was super exciting. Fans got to watch entertaining football, and yet the team did not win, and so the Redskins are in line for the number two pick. What'd you make of yesterday's outing?
Well, exactly what you said. I think that's something Smoot has been preaching since the announcement of Dwayne Haskins being the starting quarterback. You want to see positivity and growth from the young guys, which you've seen a lot of. You know, you've seen Haskins have his best game prior to the injury. You look at Sims Jr., all of a sudden it's like the light clicked on and they realized, hey, we have a special talent along with McLaurin and Harmon to make big plays with. So when you look at all the young guys that's elevating their game at this point, it stands out, especially offensively, because offensively you struggle for so long throughout the season. Now all of a sudden it's like you got a rhythm with all young guys. If you throw Geis into the mix, you look at Haskins, you look at the development of a lot of the young guys, and you're starting to get excited about it.
Clinton, help me out.
And you kept the second pick in the draft.
Which is perfect, yes, which we're excited about. Help me out with this defense. We saw them play well for a few weeks in a row, right? They were good against Green Bay just a couple weekends ago. They got just destroyed by a bad Giants team with a rookie quarterback. Saquon Barkley did whatever he wanted. How can you reconcile what you saw a couple weeks ago against Green Bay, a good team, and then what we saw yesterday against the Giants? I can't figure it out.
Well, I think when you look at Green Bay, outside of Aaron Rodgers and Adams, you don't say they have that threat. Green Bay could beat you so many different ways. For us, it's like we constantly forget the number one player on the opposing team. Because for Saquon to go out and have almost 300 yards on 26 touches, to have almost 300 yards is, at some point, you put a spy on him. At some point, someone is assigned to him. You say, you know what? Anyone is going to beat us outside of Saquon Barkley. I don't care if I'm dropping my safeties into the box, if it's nobody deep over the top. I'm spying on the guy that they want to get involved in the game, which was Saquon. He had a big run early. I think he had like a 32-yarder or something, and he never slowed down. I mean, they still haven't stopped him. So when you look at Saquon Barkley, identifying the guy that can hurt you. On this team, on this offense, you're playing against the New York Giants. Daniel Jones is just coming back. Who do they want to use? They're not going to put Daniel Jones in a situation where, oh, he's going to come back and be the savior the first week after missing last week. So you already know he was hobbled. That's why he missed last week. You don't go out and, oh, I'm focused on Daniel Jones, and you allow Saquon to have the best game of his young career.
Clinton Portis on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Let's say they do end up with the number two pick. Are you on the you got to draft Chase Young bandwagon because everyone seems to think that he's the next great defensive player in the league and could maybe be a defensive player of the year type? Or would you try to trade down and get a bunch of picks?
Well, I think my first option would be to trade down and get a bunch of picks. I think you need a guy like Jerry Jeudy more than you need a guy like Chase Young, which Chase Young is going to be a great player in this league with the talent he has. But when you look at defensive players that really make a huge impact outside of Aaron Donald, you know, you see J.J. Watt and you look at the Texans trading Jadeveon Clowney to Seattle. Like, what was the impact? You know, you look at those guys, and although they're dominant, they're not going to win games for you. You look at Khalil Mack in Chicago, just throughout the league, some of the high-paid defensive players. If you don't have offensive weapons, offensive firepower, offensive talent, then it's hard. You know, you look at the Baltimore Ravens for so long that won off of defense, playing stout defense, all of a sudden they go and find a talent in Lamar Jackson that's once in a lifetime or a once every decade, because you saw it in Michael Vick as well. But you have to find a guy to put points on the board. You know, seats aren't being filled up from defensive players. And I think you have a good young nucleus, and there's a lot of guys who can make plays. But if you go out and you find another receiver and you give Haskins a weapon and you get Haskins and McLaurin and Geist back, you know, you got some weapons, something to work with. And I think Jeudy is probably one of the best receivers in the draft. I like those guys at LSU as well. But I think just purest route runner, guys that can get open, you could create something, because Harmon is showing you that he can play. Sims Jr. is showing you that he can play. McLaurin can play. Now you go add a guy like Jerry Jeudy, and you have a great young core. You know, you look at the Dallas Cowboys and the receiving core that they were putting on the field that was a matchup problem before the injuries to Cooper, with Cooper, Gallup, and Cobb. And now you got a younger version of that core if you could add Jerry Jeudy. So I'm saying trade back and pick up some assets, pick up a second-round pick, and whatever else you can get out of it. But sitting in the number two spot, I think, is prime real estate for you to make whatever move you want to make.
Yeah, there's very little downside to either picking a great player or trading back and getting multiple players to fill some needs. Clinton Portis with us every day after the Redskins play. He's joined us all season long. Let's drill down on Haskins real quick specifically. The light bulb seems to have gone on for him. How much of that is, you know, just sort of him kind of figuring out the NFL? How much of that is the coaches, maybe Kevin O'Connell specifically, Clinton, just figuring out what he does well and getting him comfortable? Just what are you seeing right now specifically with Haskins?
Well, I think that's what it is. I think he's all of a sudden beginning to get comfortable. You're not seeing numbers, you know, the 300-yard games from Haskins yet. It's still one of those managed games where he's just getting completions and allowing his guys to run and make plays for him. But at the same time, I think it's more of an understanding of putting him in a situation that he's comfortable with. I think at one point he was up to 9 for 9 or 10 for 10 with his completion percentage. So giving him passes that he can complete, not having to worry about the accuracy, not having to make him think and make plays, you allow him to get comfortable in the pocket, and then he's finding his guys, and his guys are making plays for him. So I think it's a combination of each. You know, you look at O'Connell, I think O'Connell is starting to come into his own, because he's been shuffling the entire, you know, ever since he got the opportunity, he's been shuffling with guys. Now all of a sudden you have a stout three in Haskins and Harmon, McLaurin and Sims Jr. You know these are the guys you're putting on the field. So knowing that, I think he's getting comfortable with what he has, and he's getting the guys the ball. You know, early on it was Adrian Peterson. Now you're starting to see him spread the ball around.
Clinton Portis, Grant Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Hey, let's put you on the field yesterday in your prime. End of the game, you guys score the touchdown to get within a point. Bill Callahan says you're kicking an extra point, you're going to overtime instead of going for two. You're on the field. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking I'm getting the ball. I'm really thinking I'm getting the ball, but you know, that's just one of those situations. You don't have anything to lose, and you're kind of playing for the second pick anyway. Although, you know, I think when you look at Callahan's decision, you're playing for the second pick anyway. You know, your guys gave you a hard-fought game. You know, your offense responded numerous times, down 14. The guys continued to fight. Case Keenum came in and picked up where Haskins left off. So you had guys making plays for you. At that point, it's like us playing the Dolphins. When the Dolphins say, hey, you know what? We're going for two. We're going for the win. So just go for the win. You know, I think especially would have been a high-scoring game and a game that really didn't mean much to you. And you're saying, hey, you know what? What I wanted to see out of my guys was us to fight, which you saw. You saw a lot of development in some of the guys. The penalties have been down lately, so guys are starting to get an understanding. Go for it.
Clinton, you're the best, buddy. Always appreciate the time, man. We got one more of these. Week 17 got here before we knew it, man. Have a good week. Have a good Christmas.
Hey, same to you all, man. Merry Christmas.
Be well, buddy. There's the great Clinton Portis, Redskins legendary running back on Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Next, before we go around the NFL, want to give our thoughts on the Bill Callahan two-point conversion decision, but I want to get your guys' take on that as well. So why don't you call us at 800-636-1067 and answer this question. What did you think of Callahan not going for two in the win? Ending the game right there, either you win it or you lose it. 3-11 versus 3-11 in December. He looks out on the field. He's already got a hurt quarterback, a hurt tackle, and he goes, let's play more football. In December, in an irrelevant game between two teams that might be picking second overall. G&D on the Fan.
All day to throw it wide open, Saquon Barkley. Three possessions, three touchdowns for the G-Men.
When you have a number three wide receiver, once he's released and you're in a two-deep zone, somebody has to run with the seam route. Saquon Barkley's the seam route, because you don't know where your safety is. So whoever's the number three defender, that's third guy from the outside, you have to turn that into man-to-man, and it's just a great play call and a beautiful throw and excellent protection by the Giants.
Saquon Barkley rushed for 189 yards yesterday and went for 90 through the air. Four catches and that touchdown. That was Fox, Brenneman, Spielman. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. We just had Clinton Portis on. We asked him about Bill Callahan's end-of-game decision. It's funny. J.P. Finley sits directly in front of me in the press box. Redskins get the football back. They got to go 99 yards to go down the field and potentially tie or win the game. And I said, as a matter of fact, this was actually before they got the ball back.
It was before they got it, yeah.
I said, hey, man, J.P., if they get a stop and get the ball back, they go down and score. Bill Callahan kicks the extra point or goes for two. And we start laughing about it like, oh, my gosh, can you imagine? And
he's kicking the extra point.
Can you imagine if he kicked the extra point? I even tweeted as much as they're marching down the field. I go, if they score a touchdown here, does Bill Callahan do the Bill Callahan-y thing, the cassette tape move? Is he a VCR? Does he just kick the extra point to play more football? And sure enough, he did. 3-11 versus 3-11. In December, in week 16, backup quarterback, backup tackle. You've already got multiple injuries. We're just going to keep this train on the tracks, baby. This was Clinton Portis when we asked him what he would have done, what he would have been thinking if he was on the field with a chance to win the game or tie the game with an extra point.
I'm thinking I'm getting the ball. I'm really thinking I'm getting the ball, but. You know, that's just one of those situations. You don't have anything to lose, and you're kind of playing for the second pick anyway. Although, you know, I think when you look at Callahan's decision, you're playing for the second pick anyway. You know, your guys gave you a hard-fought game. You know, your offense responded numerous times, down 14. The guys continued to fight. Case Keenum came in and picked up where Haskins left off. So you had guys making plays for you. At that point, it's like us playing the Dolphins. When the Dolphins say, hey, you know what? We're going for two. We're going for the win. So just go for the win. You know, I think especially would have been a high-scoring game and a game that really didn't mean much to you. And you're saying, hey, you know what? What I wanted to see out of my guys was us to fight, which you saw. You saw a lot of development in some of the guys. The penalties have been down lately. So guys are starting to get an understanding. Go for it.
I'm thinking I'm getting the ball. Your guys gave you a hard-fought game. Your offense responded. You have guys making plays for you. just go for the win.
I generally love numbers. I love when numbers prove what your eyes see. I love when numbers, and I know we're not allowed to use analytics anymore because EB got mad at that number or that word this morning. But I will say, I love analytics because it helps. It's a great data point. Sometimes game flow matters, though. For example, go back to the Redskins against the Dolphins, right? Where the Redskins had a lead, the Dolphins come storming back. I know what the math would say is you go for two and you go for the win. Well, I'm going, well, one team is playing infinitely better than the other right now. And if I'm the Dolphins, I want to play more football. But if I'm the Redskins, I'm going, we got to escape. Let's end this game as soon as possible. So I thought the Dolphins should have gone for the extra point and then probably won it in overtime because the Redskins couldn't move the ball and the Dolphins are moving it. Go to this Redskins game here this past week against the Giants, okay, as of yesterday. Look at the game flow. Neither team can stop anybody. Both teams are going up and down. Your offense just finished a 99-yard drive, okay? Then you can enter in when you've got game flow check. You can enter into the math of it. The New York Times published a study it was over a 10-year period where overwhelming majority of teams, when faced with this exact situation, kicked the extra point an overwhelming number of times. It was 42 out of 47 times over 10 years before the start of this season, okay? Those teams would go on to win just 40% of the time. So when everyone goes, well, it's a 50-50 proposition. When you go for two, you either go for the win or you lose. What you then get is less than a 50-50 proposition by continuing to play the game. You could lose the coin toss, lose the game. You could win the coin toss, not score. You could lose in a million different ways. So people are afraid to have an instant loss, but they don't seem to be afraid of similar consequences that take a little bit longer because they think that's safer, because that's an easier answer at the podium. Teams that are aware of this kind of stuff, you think of the Ravens primarily, the Steelers have done this for years, the Patriots get it, okay? Teams that are aware of the math and the consequences, who've got secure programs and a head coach that's not going anywhere, they don't care about the podium. They know they're right. They've got the smart people with the pocket protectors and the TI-83s that can point the numbers out and say, this is the deal. I don't, when it comes to going for two, I don't just go math gospel. I have two boxes that need to be checked. Box one, yes, the math. Box two, the game flow. If my offense hasn't moved the ball all day and I've stunk and this is my first touchdown late in the fourth quarter, I probably won't go for it. I've scored 35 points.
So everything you just said is great and it makes sense. It's so much more simple to me than that. You're 3-11. They're 3-11. It's week 16 in December.
Well, there's also that.
What are we doing here?
There's also the human decency angle.
You know those memes that are all over the internet where it's like, get you a guy who looks at Danny the way Grant looks at Sean when he's running the board.
Or that one where there's one girl walking one way and the guy's looking around and the girl's mad at him for turning around and looking at the girl that just walked by.
Okay, but you're just referencing a meme now that doesn't have much to do with what I'm talking about.
Oh, I thought
about.
That's what you were talking about.
No, nope, it's not what I'm talking about.
All right.
What I'm talking about is like there's a guy who's looking, like two people in a picture and one like, or a burger. Like there's a guy eating a burger and the guy's looking down and he's like, really juicy burger, and he's like staring at it like he's about to devour it.
Yeah.
And someone's like, get you a guy who looks at you like this guy looks at this burger. You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you mean, yeah.
Okay. Get you a coach who will go for two in that situation in this coaching search. Get you a coach who will go for a fourth down in plus territory, which Bill Callahan has continued to not do down the stretch here. Get you a coach who doesn't run it on 10 of the first 12 first downs of the game.
Amen to the amen.
And by the way, it would have been 11 of 12, but they had to hurry up to the line after the Steven Sims spot on first down, so they ran a quick play and it happened to be a pass. Get you a coach who has some stones and some aggressiveness and coaches to dictate, to take the fight to the opponent. Not someone who just kind of waits to take shots, plays defensively. You know, don't be a boxer who takes a lot of punches. Get you a coach who's going to put his you-know-what on the line every now and then, who's going to take his basketballs out and is going to say, you know what, on this play, we're going to be better than you. Get you a coach who does that. 800-636-1067. I cannot believe they didn't go for two. This was actually the source. I was sitting there yesterday. I had 10 different ideas of things I was supposed to write about for The Athletic. I walked over to David Aldridge. It's very cool to be able to say David Aldridge is my boss.
Isn't that neat, by the way? Hey, David, real quick, Grant Paulson from over the other side of the room.
He is a legend. He is an icon, right?
Yeah, he's a star.
So I walked over to him. I said, hey. First of all, I was laughing. I was like, can you believe that? He's like, I don't know what to say. I said, is it possible? Can I just write about that? He's like, you want to write your whole story on just that? I'm like, yep, the whole story on that.
I want to do that.
He's like, okay, you do that. So that's what I wrote about today. But I don't know what to tell you, man. I've never seen anything quite like that. I don't know that there's another coach in the league, 3-11 versus 3-11 yesterday, that does that. The Dolphins in like week five didn't even do that.
I know.
When they still had a lot of season left to potentially turn their year around. They said, you know what? They got them a coach who's going to try to go for the win. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. Your thoughts on kicking the extra point, going to overtime, rather than going for two.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back to the end zone, and how about Dwayne Haskins? The first career touchdown for Hale Hentges.
Well, Hale, normally known as a blocker, and usually that sprinkle in practice catching these passes, does a good job of patience. And see that back orange pylon, Tom? That's the Haskins target right there. Bethea's going to get caught a little bit inside. There's confusion again on the back end of the Giants' defense, and Hentges is wide open on a corner route.
With Danny, I'm Grant. You are listening to The Fan. What do you think of Bill Callahan's decision to kick an extra point rather than going for two at the end of yesterday's game?
Sorry, I couldn't help but chuckle at that highlight. Spielman says, hell, Hentges known as a blocker. Is he? Is he known as anything? Is he known to anybody outside of the Hentges family?
I'm not sure he's really known.
Yeah, listen, caught a touchdown, had a nice catch on a throw.
Good for him.
That Keenum made on the run, kind of had to throw it behind it because where the coverage was. Good for Hale Hentges. I need an upgrade from Hale Hentges. It's cruel. It's the holiday season. I get it.
I still don't even know. We call him Hale Hentges. I just still don't even know if it's pronounced that way. In the press box, they call him Hale Hentges. Like Hentges?
Hentges.
But that might be wrong.
No one knows what's right.
I mean, so he scored a touchdown.
He's known as a blocker. Is he?
There's probably more players right now on the Redskins playing that I haven't invested enough time in learning about than ever in my life. And I don't think it's that I'm getting lazier or more removed. It's just that this is such a lost season. I mean, they're going to go 3-13 for the second time in my adult life that basically I'm not investing the time until we start over again in a couple of months and we see who's left when the dust settles. CJ is in Lanham on Grant and Danny. What's up, CJ?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
First of all, can we just say thank you to Bill Callahan for his decision? Now, is it what the football experts would have did? No. Is it what you and I would have did? No. But at the same time, it gave us the opportunity to be picking potentially at number two.
But understand, though, he didn't make the decision for that reason, CJ. Like, people are saying he did this so they'd lose. In fact, he did this for the opposite reason. He was afraid they might lose if they went for two. What?
And that's why he's not coming back anyways.
Understood.
And also,
go ahead.
And what Clinton said also, you play to win. I mean, that's what you should do. But what Clinton also said, I just wanted to bring up real quick, Clinton said we need Jerry Jeudy in the draft. Now, I would love Jerry Jeudy, but I'm picking Chase Young now. But it also makes me think, if the front office didn't whiff on the Trent Williams trade, we could have had a first-round pick from Cleveland, which they're potentially sitting at 12 right now. That would have put us in prime position to get CeeDee Lamb from Oklahoma.
Absolutely right.
Or we could have got Henry Ruggs III from Alabama, who's probably their most electrifying athlete.
Yeah, I spend about 10 minutes a day, CJ, thinking about what if they would have just traded Trent Williams for a first-round pick, how much better off they'd have been in this draft class. It's ridiculous that they didn't. We should talk about it every day. Ryan in Shadyside, you're on Grant and Danny. How's it going?
What's up, fellas? I thought it was BS, man, not to go for it. I'm happy we didn't win, though, from a draft aspect. I think we need more draft capital. I definitely wouldn't draft a wide receiver. I would want a tight end or Young from Ohio State. But I'd trade back and get all the missing pieces we need.
Yeah, that's a debate for another day that we're going to have probably 100 times over is what do you do? I am team trade down almost always. I think it's been proven time and time and time again. The more picks you have, the better off you are. The good teams do that a lot. I don't think, though, that you, when you haven't had an All-Pro in 23 years, can just pass up on a guy that might be a Defensive Player of the Year. And so we're going to have that conversation. That's for another day, what they should do at number two. They don't even have the number two pick. They might beat Dallas, who was terrible yesterday. Dak Prescott had eight receivers drop passes, and when they didn't drop passes, he missed them by 17 feet.
What a bizarre thing yesterday was.
They were so bad offensively against the Eagles, who should get credit for playing one of their best defensive games of the year. Who knows? The Redskins may not even pick second, and this could all be for naught. If you pick third or fourth, then trading down becomes a really easy proposition. Ronnie in New Orleans, you're on G&D. Thanks for listening.
Hey, guys. What's going on? Thanks for having me.
Got it, buddy.
You bet.
All right, look, I just want to say, don't you think it's a little – I mean, obviously, I think we're on the same page. Your defense can't stop anybody, so why not go for two? That's your best opportunity to win the game right then and right there. Your defense hasn't stopped – Daniel Jones all day. He made it look. Daniel Jones looked like Dan Marino in 1984 against the Redskins week one. That's what he looked like yesterday. And you have a chance to win the game right there. And also, both teams aren't very good. 3-11. Just win it. Why do you want to play more football? Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
by the way, great cool pull by you, because I looked it up yesterday and there are six quarterbacks who have ever thrown for five touchdowns in the modern era against the Redskins. And Marino in that week one that you referenced was one of them. So that's a good call for you. Reggie's in Mitchellville on G&D. Hey, buddy.
Hey, gentlemen, thank you for taking my call. Now that you done shot me down with all those kinds of things, look, here's the thing. I don't think Callahan is playing to lose just so we can get a pick. I really don't. I think as a coach, you're assessing your players, you're assessing them in game time situations, and if you think they can do it, you go for it. And if you don't, you play to live for another day, in this case, another inning. Yeah, after the fact, it looks like a bad decision. But when you're sitting there, and hopefully you're talking to your other coaches, what are you guys seeing? What do you guys think? Not just the players. You're going to have to make that decision and live with it. I honestly
But
think
Reggie, nobody's saying
– Hold on,
hang with me. Nobody's saying that he is playing to lose. Nobody's saying that. What I'm saying
– Didn't I hear Clinton suggest that? Number two pick?
I think you said it's a nice bonus that we ended up with the number two
I don't
pick,
think
which
that,
I feel
okay,
that.
Okay,
I won't speak for him. If that's what he meant, I didn't take it that way. But
I didn't
so
either.
I'll just say what I'm saying then. How about that?
Okay.
Bill Callahan wants to win desperately.
Because he wants to keep the game.
He should, by the way. I don't think Bill Callahan should be coaching for the number two pick. I don't think a single player on the team should be playing for the number two pick. That's not their deal. That's not their prerogative. What I am saying is take the number two pick out of it. Everyone keeps talking about that. I'm talking about the December week 16 game between 2-3-11 teams. You, like, it, almost a la the preseason. In a million years, you're not allowed in that situation in the preseason to go to kick the extra point. You go for two to win the game. I'm saying this is basically that. The Dolphins in a game between two terrible teams at the in like week six went for two for this reason. Because we're not going to risk injury and go to overtime in this awfully lost year for the – and though, by the way, there's 10 weeks left at that point. And they knew at that time this is the way it's done. This is week 16, the difference between 3-13 and 4-12. You've already got a quarterback hurt and a tackle hurt. Who knows how long one or two of those guys could be out. What if someone tears an ACL and misses the entire offseason in overtime? It makes no sense. It's got nothing to do with the number two pick.
After the fact sense, you're right. But if I'm sitting there in that moment, I'm not thinking about if we keep playing, we get more injuries.
Well, you should be if you're a head coach. But again, forget even the injuries. If that's the word you don't like, that's fine. 3-11, 3-11, week 16, you've played 59 minutes, you don't need to play 70.
Yeah, this is, to me, not about the number two pick. It's about evaluating Bill Callahan. It's a reminder that Bill Callahan does not think of the game
good
the
way to say
that is not only popular, but effective right now in 2019.
There are two files here, or two buckets, okay? The first bucket you can go buy at Home Depot, you put things in. That bucket says, this is a guy who thinks about the game the way that it needs to be thought about in 2019. The other bucket is this guy's a cassette tape. This goes in the cassette tape bucket. Just like all the first down runs and the lack of shots and play action and not going for a 4th-and-3 in plus territory. He's got the handbook that was printed and written in 1971. He still reads from it.
Yeah, the one that the announcers go, you have to punt there. You don't go for it on 4th down. I don't know why they're going for two. Just ignoring the data points. They're catering to an audience that isn't informed anymore. There's too much information, too much data to say that he does it right. Now, again, I'm in general, I love the numbers, and I love using those to help prove a case and sort of figure out where we are. I am not a slave to the numbers when it comes to going for two. I think you have to analyze the way the game's going. And the way the game's going, check that box more than any other number possibly could. You were about to give up a record number of yards to the New York Giants. You couldn't stop Barkley. You couldn't stop Daniel Jones. You couldn't stop Golden Tate. You couldn't stop a receiver I've never heard of. You couldn't stop anybody. You could not stop them at any point in time. The idea that a proposition of just going to overtime and risking a coin toss, risking your own offense's ineffectiveness, risking the Giants getting the football back when you had the ball and a chance to win, to me is crazy.
Let's look at the NFL playoff picture next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Peterson had the touchdown a week ago to tie Walter Payton for fourth on the all-time rushing touchdowns list with 110. He tries to move into fourth all by himself with another. Behind only Emmitt Smith, LaDainian Tomlinson, and Marcus Allen. And it is Peterson. And it is a touchdown for Adrian Peterson. Fourth place by himself on the all-time rushing touchdowns list. And he's not finished yet.
Fox's call, Redskins action yesterday were Grant and Danny. Let's hop around the NFL, look at the playoff scenario as it currently has unfolded. Starting the AFC, the Baltimore Ravens are your number one seed. They will have home field throughout the postseason. An unbelievable campaign for Lamar Jackson, who's going to be the MVP. They are 13-2. I would just sit him completely and let Robert Griffin start against the 8-7 Steelers. What about you?
I would probably do a quarter, like kind of that Cousins against Dallas thing where everybody gets a sweat going, we get a nice lather, okay, go sit on the bench. We're just getting
big
one last
physical
practice.
Defense, and he runs the ball a lot.
I know. I like, because you're not going to get any work basically for 3 weeks without that, right?
True.
If you're him. So I would hold my breath and be terrified while it was happening, but I would. I'd get a quarter in. I'd treat it like a preseason game and get him out of there.
Ravens, your one seed. Patriots, probably going to be the two seed, but they still got work to do. They play against the Dolphins 4-11 this weekend. If they lose and Kansas City beats the 5-10 Chargers, the Chiefs, by way of a tiebreaker, will actually get a bye in the first round. New England would have to play. In years where they don't get that first round bye,
it's been a different story.
They don't get to just be the Belichick, Brady, all the way to the Super Bowl Patriots
Chiefs,
necessarily,
man,
as easily.
You were on this. You saw it. Grant, the prospect hunter. You were the scout here with the stopwatch and some chewing tobacco. So I don't know, something about this kid. You were on the Chiefs before everybody else was. Now everybody's doing the thing where they're going, no one's talking about the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Some people have been. They right now, maybe the second best team in the NFL.
They're giving up about 9 points a game over the last month defensively.
They've been awesome.
That's been the issue in the last couple of years, mm-hmm, is that they couldn't play defense. Pat Mahomes at quarterback, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill as weapons, and now that defense playing well. They're scary. They would host the Titans if the playoffs started today. Tennessee's trying to fend off the Steelers and the Raiders. If they beat the 10-5 Texans, who have already won their division, won't have a lot to play for next weekend. The Titans will be in, and they will be at Kansas City. The Bills will be at the Texans as the wild card team in the fifth seed at the four seed Houston. Houston's got a chance to get 11-5. They play the Titans again. The division's already determined, and it's not really all that likely that the Texans would climb above anybody else. So you have to imagine the Titans will handle their business. Over to the NFC. As of right now, New Orleans is chasing San Francisco, a couple of 12-3 teams based on when those teams met this year. The 49ers, if they beat the Seahawks, will clinch home field throughout. They obviously will get that first round bye, and they will be the one seed in the NFC. If they do that, though, there's a chance Seattle could fall to the sixth seed still.
You imagine?
Minnesota plays Green Bay tonight on Monday Night Football, and we'll preview this game in about an hour. This is a huge contest. A Packers win and they win the division, the Vikings are very likely the sixth seed in the wild card team, right? If Minnesota, without Dalvin Cook, without their top two running backs, wins tonight against Green Bay, they would then be playing against a bad NFC North team now in the Bears, who are eliminated sub 500 in week 17. If they beat Green Bay and they beat Chicago with a Seattle loss to San Francisco, they become the 5 seed, and they would get the NFC East champions.
Wild.
So there's a lot to be determined here. As of this moment, the Vikings are at the Packers to start the playoffs. Those two teams play in Minneapolis tonight. And again, the division championship could be on the line if Green Bay wins. Other side of the equation, the Seahawks would be at the Eagles. What you want is the 5 seed so that you can play the NFC East team and not the NFC North winner.
You don't want the 6 seed.
So there's your to-be-determined element of the NFC playoff picture. The only thing up in the air is will the Cowboys or Eagles win the East? Here's how that works. If Philly wins in Week 17 against the 4-11 Giants, they're
That's
in.
It.
If they lose and the Cowboys beat the Redskins, Dallas would get in over Philly.
I can't believe it after last week, what we saw.
Same.
You know what I mean? Like,
I was loud wrong on that one. I said Dallas was going to pound the Eagles.
For the last month plus, I kept saying the Eagles are going to win the division, not because they're better, because their schedule's a joke down the stretch. And that included the Redskins, by the way. You had the Dolphins in there. You had this Giants game. The Eagles were just going to luck box their way into it because their hard games were early. The Cowboys' harder games were late. Even though the Cowboys' schedule wasn't a juggernaut, I figured they'd slip up. But I thought once we got to this point, they're both 7-7. Playing that 4 o'clock window yesterday, you saw Dallas figure it out the week before. They may not put up 50 points again, but of course they're going to win the game. They looked terrible for most of it. A furious comeback where they couldn't punch it in a couple times. What a bizarre bit of theater yesterday. Jerry Jones has to be livid.
If these matchups hold, would you predict any upsets in the first round of the playoffs? So that would be Titans as dogs at Kansas City. I think the Chiefs would work them.
You would think so.
Bills at dogs against the Texans. I could see Buffalo beating Houston.
Buffalo could.
Minnesota would be the underdog in Green Bay. Again, that is still very much to be determined based on tonight's game.
Mm-hmm.
That's a toss-up game.
I mean, Minnesota's favorite in that game. So I don't know if that's a huge
tonight?
Upset, right?
But that game's in Minneapolis.
Right,
this
right,
one
right.
would be at Lambeau.
But you see what I'm saying? Yeah.
Right.
So is it going to be a 6-point swing? I don't know. I mean, it depends on what happens tonight, obviously.
And
Green
then,
Bay works them.
I mean, the Seahawks, even though they're at Philly would, I would think, be expected to win that game going away. Maybe like a 27-17 type game. Although, Seattle yesterday.
What the hell was that?
Where did that come from against Arizona?
I mean, they're apparently
at home.
Calling Marshawn Lynch on the phone to figure out how to get some running game going. Chris Carson just destroyed my fantasy championship, by the way. Thanks for that. So he goes out with an injury. Looks like he's not there. Procise gets hurt. It's some guy I'd never heard of before. Making some carries and catches, so they want some power back, so they're going to call old faithful Marshawn Lynch, apparently, to come back. We'll see.
You guys got a thought on the playoff picture, 800-636-1067. We got a few people still want to weigh in on Bill Callahan's decision at the end of the game, so we can get to that as we continue. We'll give you a quick Beltway Blitz, and then we'll hit some of the calls next on Grant and Danny. At 12:18, Dan Snyder was in the locker room telling Dwayne Haskins what he wanted his quarterback to do or not to do in the second half of the game yesterday. Really? We're doing this again? You're listening to The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.